Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
We're back. It's episode 78 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. Same bat time, same bat channel. Maybe you listen to us on something else. Hi, it's Drew Papsky here, and we are ready for the Calgary Flames game tonight. Woohoo! You already know what happens, so we'll spare you the spoiler. We don't actually know yet. It's recording. Hi, everybody.
We should just record things that could happen.
Yeah, like, oh, Van de Velde, like, has Achilles ruptures. And
oh, what a goal by Coots.
Oh, drats. Van de Velde ruptured his Achilles. Oh, well.
What an awful challenge taken by Hextall. We could have really used that timeout later because we're down by four goals.
Can't believe Steve Mason gave up that bad rebound.
I can't believe Anthony Stolarz.
Butter.
Fuck. Hi, guys. It's Jeff DeAngelis, Drew Papsky here, and Doyle with
that whirling
dervish of a...
Not butter.
That whirling dervish of a segment. Oh, jeez. How's everyone going? It's we got
Dude, it ran its course well before I said that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was
I don't know what you're talking about. Is that how you break up with girls? It ran its course long before I said anything. You didn't say anything. Well, shut up. Flyers, after an 50-50 week, going 1-1 this week. They had two games since the last time we spoke. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what's going on with the team. Some goalie controversy. Uh-oh, maybe not. Some lack of playoff spot, or maybe coming soon, depending on what happens tonight. Goal differential. Even strength scoring. Some injury changes. Some Flyers prospect updates. Some NHL news and a couple other things going on. But first things first, guys, if you didn't think about doing it, next Saturday, February 25th, the Flyers play the Penguins in the Outdoor Stadium Series. I think it's Coors Light's running it this year. Is that what it is?
Coors Light Stadium Series.
Is that what it is? Okay, yes, that makes sense. We're going to be at Westies in Wildwood, North Wildwood to be exact. You can
and
Google
you better
it.
Be there because I was supposed to go to Tribal Seeds and
you can still go.
I didn't.
You're not essential.
Oh, dang.
Just kidding. We're all bros.
And we put each other before
the hoes.
And so next Saturday is going to be at Westies. We're going to be there. We're going to be drinking lots and lots of booze, doing some giveaways, some contests.
Yelling at people.
Hopefully getting people out of the polar bear plunge to warm their hearts and their extremities with some laughter.
With some witty banter and sports talk.
And depending on the audience, we'll probably pander them as we usually do and just banter the sports talk after about halfway through. But it should be fun. It's going to be
halfway,
a fun party.
That's being generous.
All right.
Who wants to see that lady's jugs? Woo!
And it's actually just a fat man. It's me getting a beer in between, getting a beer and a pretzel with cheese in between.
Lay off me, I'm starving.
Jeff's reading off the week's stats. I'm like, hold on a minute, let me just sneak out. But we're going to be releasing it as a special episode, so it'll be like almost like just we'll be between episode 79 and 80. It'll be.
Imagine it as freemium content.
Yes, because all of our
78 and a half.
I guess we do that. You know, like Lion King 1.5. We'll do something.
No, it'd be 79 and a half.
That's true. It'd be 79 and a half. That would work. But yeah, we got so check out that. Yeah. We'll be bringing it up later in the show.
Next week's episode would be 79.
Isn't this getting put out before that, though?
No, it would be recorded after next week's episode, which would be 79.
Oh,
the problem
right.
is, how would we come up with a song for 79 and a half?
Look no further. I got a doozy of a song for you guys later, too. A minute-long version of a song I have, which we'll get to later. But before we get that...
A minute-long?
We wrote...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He told me all. He didn't tell me what it is.
Oh, you wrote it yourself?
I had a great, he told me great freestyle work. Idea in my head on the drive home today in traffic, and then I got home and started writing it down.
Are
then
you,
I realized I couldn't end there. I had to continue on to the next rest
is
of
it. Is it over an instrumental?
No. Oh, it's not. But it's under a great song.
We're totally getting in trouble.
No, we're not. No, we're not.
I think it'll be okay.
Should I give you guys a hint?
No, as long as it's parody, you're fine.
Should I give you? I have a rebuttal to that.
We're just going to skip over that. I'd also like to say thank you to the guys from Scuttlepuck.
Yes.
For letting me come on and do a guest spot this weekend. If you are an Oilers fan or a fan of hockey, really, they're good dudes. Give them a listen.
They do just do hockey in general. And also,
Scuttlepuck.
Thanks to Leonard for the tip-off.
Yeah, Leonard, way to go.
Leonard sent me a message saying, you know, he said, like, hey, the ad last week guys played. Here's a couple of podcasts I listened to if you want to. Hit him up, and then I emailed the guy. It just so happened that since we're playing the Oilers this week, tonight, if you're listening, on Thursday to be exact, their one guy was out, and they were going to talk about the Flyers and Oilers saga with Connor McDavid and Brandon Manning.
Father and son.
Since I did Bartnick, so I was like, you know what, maybe I let Jeff go on there because he said he'd be open to having another one of us on there, and we have him on here. So it was pretty cool. We got to call in to go talk to some Canadian dudes.
Pretty good. They were cool dudes. Go to scuttlepuck.com, and that'll be, you can figure out where to download, subscribe, and everything along those lines.
Yeah, I also like that each episode they kind of give like a number. Each number episode they give like a hockey player.
Yeah.
So like whatever number they wore, obviously 100 and something.
They're using, they're using 39. But yeah, it was good. They're cool guys.
Yeah, so go check that out. Jeff talks a lot about hockey and things going on in the league. And
you hear lots of my thoughts.
Yeah, so all of Jeff's thoughts you always wanted to hear but didn't know you needed to know. All on Scuttle Puck last week. Good hour episode. The whole time he was on there filling in. So anyway, back to the Flyers this week. They, like I said, they went 1-1-0. They had a 3-1 loss under the Islanders, and they had a 2-1 overtime win over the San Jose Sharks. Flyers continue their good play at home. They played against the Sharks team. That's, you know, not too shabby, not because they once were, but they have like the pretty much the Norris. Everyone thinks Burns going with the Norris, most
right?
Likely
and
will.
He was, I think he was a big part of both the Flyers' goals too.
Yeah. The beard fears Wayne Simmons, apparently.
Yeah, that stinky beard slows him down.
Yeah, Wayne Simmons had something to say about it.
Why didn't they get rid of their stupid beards after the playoffs last year? That shit is gross.
Because they're just San Jose hipsters.
They look so grimy.
Spoke of that North Cali weed hanging out.
Chisholm's looks better.
Yeah, Brent Burns looks like just like a blanket away from being a homeless man.
He could be, but he's also going to make a lot of money, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't have front teeth, so he can put his tongue through it like...
Just like Sean Couturier, they can French kiss away with their mouth still kind of closed. We're getting off topic. I don't mean to get too hot for you guys. The 50 Shades movie came out, and now I'm just all hot and bothered. But,
oh, right.
The Flyers...
50 darker shades.
Point leaders for the week. We
polarized 50 Shades.
Not so much. Only three regulation goals scored, or three goals in general score, I'm sorry. One regulation goal. Two regulation goals, having a procedure.
Jesus Christ.
Jacob, I'm sorry. It's, it's hard to
mushmouth.
I'm not mushmouthing. I'm just messing up what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Is that even a cardigan? What are you wearing?
Shut up. It's a pullover.
Looks like my mom's drapes. Jacob Voracek.
It looks like the blanket you put like on the back of a couch.
Yeah.
All right.
On the back of a Buick you drive because it's just there in case.
I got nothing. I kind of hate this one too. But
your Buick seat's so worn, it has so many rips in it. You need to put a blanket on.
You have the courage of 10 men to wear that here into the Lion's Den, also known as my house. So Jacob Voracek with 2 assists, Wayne Simmons with 2 goals leading in, and then finally in second place, Andrew McDonald with 1 assist. Provorov with a goal, and Ghost with an assist to round out. So those are pretty much, you got 3 defensemen and 2 of our main forwards providing the points for this week.
Claude Giroux conspicuously absent.
More at 10.
Hmm.
So we could see what we can do with that. So thoughts on the Sharks or Islanders games anyway? I think the Islanders game was a little, oh boy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was not very good.
No, it was bad.
It should be also noted that Mason started the Islanders game, and then Neuver started the Sharks game.
You know what, though? They played
the Islanders game. What was it, like a good minute or two that they were in the Philadelphia zone with their fourth line, and it looked like it was the freaking all-star first line.
Fourth line, sans Cal Clutterbuck.
The Islanders are just a hungrier team. They've been on a surge lately. They're moving
they
up.
They played better
and
defensively against the Sharks.
Absolutely. I'm not saying it was on Neuwirth and Mason, but you know how hockey controversies work.
Well, yeah, but
I think since the All-Star break, the Flyers have like the second least amount of goals.
Well, that's good.
Given up, but they have
no goals scored.
Yeah, I think they have like 15 goals scored and 20 scored against.
Yeah.
That stinks.
That just brings up how poorly they've been playing. So that with that being said, as they stand, we have 61 points right now, 27, 22, and 7, 1 point behind Toronto. But we're outside the playoffs. We're looking in there on the last 2 wild card spots. And right behind us, beating down our door, between 1 and 4 points behind, we have these following teams who pay attention because we're playing some of them soon. Islanders, Panthers, Devils, Sabres, and Lightning.
Yeah, from top to bottom, everybody's only separated by like 8 points.
Yeah. The only person that seems to be really out of reach is like the Detroit Red Wings.
Yes.
So they're kind of down at the bottom Red Wings. It's pretty close to the end. And I mean, also, if you look at the actual standings, the old way they used to do hockey, the Flyers are holding on the second to last playoff spot because we're the 7th seed in the East.
Yeah.
But the problem is with the wild card,
the new divisions
now, the more competitive divisions are hard.
Well,
it's kind of like in football.
The real problem is
did the Patriots miss the playoffs 1 year, like 11-5?
Yeah. But
of the Jets or whatever,
of the 8 playoffs, of the 8 playoff spots, the Metropolitan Division has 4 of them already.
Yeah, that's kind of hard. And the Devils, Islanders, and Flyers are right in the mix, like to take the. Yeah. Like the, I mean, obviously
Carolina's in there too.
Yeah, Carolina's not too far down either. They are only about 3 points behind us.
Yeah, everybody's only fighting for the second one, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Because
Rangers have
it's Caps, Penguins, Rangers, and
the Rangers have
Blue Jackets.
Rangers have 75 points,
far and ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
So the Flyers are 14 points behind them, and the Rangers have played the same amount of games, but I don't see us catching them.
So it's basically
with
like
their plus 45 goal differential, which is good.
The
for
The Flyers
like
and everybody
best.
Else. I mean, the Bruins, Leafs. The Bruins and Leafs will flip-flop for, like, third in the division.
Yeah, but Ottawa's also right there, too.
Ottawa's, I thought they were in second.
Yeah, but they have 64 points as soon as the Bruins. They just played four
of those
games.
So, yeah, basically, the Metropolitan Division, barring some catastrophic incident, is already determined. So the Flyers just have to hope that the whole, the Atlantic Division just torpedoes into the ground.
They all beat each other up and get some injuries or something. I mean, no one would wish injuries on people, but, you know, playoffs are playoffs. That's what I'm saying. So it's going to be probably down to the wire again. And I think, you know, listening back to some older things we said, because we'll talk about that a little bit later, but we were going through a couple old shows for a couple things, and it turned out that we even said this team was a wild card team from the beginning of the season. I think for the most part, unless someone can prove me wrong. And I also remember discussing it during the 10-game win streak. We said this team could just as easily lose a bunch of games, which we did say. We had, like, Bill Matz on, and, like, I remember when I called in the Puck Off podcast, I said this. Everyone's like, oh, you guys are going to make some moves. You're like a playoff team now. It's like, well, actually, like, it's a streak. It looks great, and this team
you didn't watch how they won some of the games.
And it's like, this team isn't as good as that, but they also aren't as bad as they were playing after that when they start losing a lot. They just really need to tighten down the defense and, you know, start scoring more even strength. That's really what it comes down to, because the power play was on fire during that streak, and we got a lot of penalties, a lot of power plays out of it.
All comes down to Giroux. And what I liked was Flyers Twitter exploded on Saturday after the Sharks win when everybody started suggesting that maybe Wayne Simmonds, a.k.a. Wayne Skimmins,
a.k.a. Wayne Train, a.k.a.
would be a better team
Mr.
captain.
Steal Your Girl. Yeah, I hate that. Can we talk about that for a minute?
Oh, my God.
I was like, what happened?
I would love
he
Wayne
scored
Simmonds.
One overtime goal.
But I mean, here's the thing. Wayne Simmonds brings out like the emotional level in a lot of players. He plays. He defends his teammates. He's a hard hitter, and he's a good scorer, right?
Right.
And he also be there to like stand up for anybody. The problem is with that, you can't strip a similar like aged and also like part of the young core player or
no
middle
way.
Age core at this point, the prime core.
Not unless you're Joe Thornton.
Now, here's the thing. If there was like, let's say Mark Streit was the captain, he's getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
Then you make the case, hey, Simmonds should get the C when he leaves. Or maybe there's a guy on their way out or someone that's expendable.
Breaks his leg, put him down.
If someone was like a kind of more expendable, you say, all right, no, maybe like if we were to trade him soon, get rid of it, was part way. It's like Mike Richards, right?
Right.
They couldn't take the C away from him. They realized they need to shift the locker room culture and a change in the team's like dynamics. So they
stop
got
taking
rid of
so
him,
many pills.
And they gave the C to Pronger. People wanted to strip the C from Richards when he was playing here and give it to Pronger. Now, I think there was a little bit of legs of that, but also I did not agree with stripping him of the C. So
you can't.
Didn't people want to strip Lindros, too, when he was here?
Of course. Everyone wants to. Like, it's just always like, oh, the captain. Like, the captain doesn't have to be the best point producer on the ice. Or the,
he, like,
the best
Dustin
player.
Brown still held his down, even though he wasn't playing that well.
Then he got taken away, didn't he?
Then he got taken away.
He got taken away, like, last year.
And the Kings
it's
have
Kopitar
made
now,
it, like,
right?
Yeah, it's Kopitar now, but the Kings have made it very clear, like, we're like, dude, if you want Dustin Brown, we'll trade anything.
Yeah.
Well,
he
he's
can
like
play
the
for
only
NHL.
Player ever that negotiated his own contract.
Yeah, negotiated it so awesome. Like,
yeah, he just put his balls on the table. Was like, yeah, they're huge.
He was just throwing shit in. Like, I want this much year and a race car bed and a year's supply of beef jerky. And
whoa. No race car bed. Come on, all right.
And the Kings were like, eh, whatever. This is great. This isn't going to come back to depress us.
Dude, your bed's a car. Yeah, but it's a race car.
It's a sweet race car.
It's a sweet race car is what it is.
I always wanted one of those when I was a kid.
Well, now you can have one because you have a big boy job. You can buy one.
But yeah, you figure...
I could ask Dustin Brown for his. He's probably not using it.
Well, like recently, the Kings stripped Brown, and that got awkward.
This is getting hot.
The Sharks stripped Thornton, right? Is Shorten the captain?
Pavelski's the captain.
He's the captain now, but Thornton was, right?
I believe so.
And then they were like, nope, we're not going to trade you, but you're not the captain anymore.
Yeah, but he's also, what, on his last
37.
Year? 37. He's 37, yeah, about to be 38.
So it makes sense, but still, there's no way you can take, like, young, entering his prime Claude Giroux and be like, oh, no, we don't like it that much anymore.
Yeah. Did you guys see...
Anyway, get out there, buddy.
This is completely off topic, but did you guys see the picture of Patrick Marleau and Joe Thornton standing next to each other when they were drafted in like 1996?
No,
I did not. Dude, why?
It's pretty funny. It's just like how they just look so freaking young. I think they were like back to back, like 1 and 2 picks.
That sounds right. Is this them right there?
It was the next one.
Oh my God, Joe Thornton looks like a shittier John Heater.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That looks so like late 80s, early 90s.
You know what though? Patrick Marleau looks exactly the same.
That's only late 90s? Oh my God.
Yeah, it was like 96.
You know what's crazy? I always had this
theory.
Look
at his face. Look at that face. Hold on.
He does have a little bit of gray in his
Exactly the same.
Oh my God, he ages like Paul Kariya.
Yeah. Joe Thornton has, it looks more worn out.
Yeah, for sure. I have this theory, though. Like, every, like, the end of a decade and beginning of the next decade are always, you can't, it's hard to tell apart. Like,
Well,
the early
2000s it all bleeds together.
And the late 90s, but it takes about, like, till, like, the fourth or fifth year of a decade for it to start to shift.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, the early 2000s was just, like, the 90s with, like, you know, a little more technology that was coming through and, like, broadband internet and shit.
Oh, my God, you have a flip phone?
And butt rock.
Butt rock.
Wait, what's butt rock?
Creed. It's when you sit on your butt on a rock and go, what all, what all, what all.
Oh, Creed was awesome, though.
What?
What?
Get him out.
See that? And that spawned Nickelback.
Which but we all want to be a big rock star.
I still love the one video, the look at this graph.
Nothing's better than teaching kids and going like, all right, guys, take a look at this photograph here. We're going to talk about it. Look at this photo. And the one kid goes, no. The only one that gets it because Nickelback's old to kids at this point. They didn't get it. Let's say like white trash parents, and they probably get it. And sure enough, he did. Anyway,
white trash parents. Nickelback's Canadian.
Doesn't matter.
If you're white trash. You don't like Canadian things. You don't like anything that's not American.
You say there's not
Kid Rock.
You say
you're, all summer long.
Are you telling there's not white trash people in this country that enjoy hockey?
Oh yeah, I don't know. Well, there's us. So yeah,
I'm not white trash though.
We're not really white trash.
Dress it up any way you want.
Well, you're dressed up the way you want tonight, and look how that worked out
That's
for
true.
You.
That's true. I never said I wasn't.
You do have the sweater of Betty White on right now.
Yeah, well, maybe she's one of my influences.
Good old tablecloth wardrobe over here.
Yeah.
You having a fine dinner? You got a little pasta on there from spilling the bowl?
I bet you saw John Bork wearing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I really parrot his thoughts on climate control and...
Shane Goss's bear?
Yeah.
Drapery garb over here.
No, what was it? Like a week ago? Maybe two. He actually had a tie that matched his shirt.
You know what? It looks like you have doily garb on.
Yeah.
Wait, like as in you?
Yeah. I'm wearing garb to match one of my buds.
Yeah, don't be confused with doyle, but doily.
What's doily mean?
Doilies are like
they're
the little
like cloth like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
they're like very ornately
that's
done.
That's what I'm going with. Like that's what it looks like a tablecloth or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm adding on to it.
I get it now. I thought you were trying to bring yourself into it and bring yourself on Jeff's level. I'm like, no, we're against him. Remember the shitty start last week? We don't do this. Anyway,
I think Wayne Simmons should be captain, so.
I actually have a...
I think Ben Simmons should be captain.
There's actually a leaked underground footage of Wayne Simmons talking to Giroux after the game.
Yeah?
Oh, my God. Didn't work.
Is that like a Nintendo cartridge?
No, it sounds like an old, like one of those Cold War broadcasts.
Wait a minute. Oh my God, did that actually work? Does this work? What is going on here?
Oh boy.
Uh-oh.
We have a malfunction. I apologize everybody for all the commotion.
Yeah, their ears probably just blew out.
Yeah.
No, they didn't.
It turns out the microphone wire blows. Or the wire to the board.
I don't know.
It looks like we need to buy a new one of those.
Everything's falling apart, huh? It's
bullshit. Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Cedric.
Here's the leaked footage of Wayne Simmons. I'll try this again.
Look at me, sure. Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Wayne Simmons. Hope that was worth it.
God damn that Skimmins.
It'd be funny, though.
That would never happen.
It would never happen.
I've been watching trade rumors. Good news for all Flyers fans. The Penguins are now in the running for Duchesne or Landeskog.
Why?
I don't fucking know.
Where do they get this money from?
I don't know. I guess
I
they're planning
no idea.
On just getting rid of, what's his face at the end of the season?
I have no idea, but now the Penguins are being brought up in trade rumors. Meanwhile, Flyers nothing.
They've had Landeskog. Well, everybody's had Pittsburgh as like a dark horse to land Landeskog and Duchesne. Like they've always, they were always like, oh, maybe Pittsburgh would be interested in it. But yeah, it's definitely revved up.
But
last, like week or two.
I haven't seen anything for the Flyers regarding like Streit or Schultz or like any interest in older defensemen.
Everybody says
why would they?
Well, you know, like teams looking for defensemen, like the Flyers have these guys who are about to expire.
Every like person that's written an article about trade rumors has said like, well, the Flyers are obviously going to try and sell here with the aging defenseman that they have. Maybe a playoff team would want some depth at that position. And then
who would even want them?
They don't name any sort of team that would take them on.
Right. But it makes sense to sell.
Or
what
they
you
could
can
trade
just for picks.
They could trade Delzato too. That was another name that was thrown.
Absolutely.
Out
I wouldn't mind trading him and get something
but
back.
Like even if
a third round pick for him. Or
even if you go ahead and trade Streit and get like a sixth round pick. Like did you see the stat during the Sharks game? Where it was the Flyers traded the Sharks like a sixth round pick
and it ended
for
up being
like
Joe
a,
Pavelski, right?
Yeah. And like that draft, it ended up being Joe Pavelski.
It was like a 2000 and
at the very least, so
2005 or 2006, like sixth round pick or something.
Yeah.
I look like also look at like players that could possibly contribute on the bottom lines or also just be a part of building up an AHL team with a winning culture. That way you have young guys coming through. I like Hextall's pushing that.
Plus, Hextall's going to need to replenish the Phantoms when he poaches all of them.
Especially the defensemen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, right now they're just tearing it up and they're going to be in a lot of trouble when everybody dies.
Brandon Manning will round out the Phantoms nicely in about 3 or 4 years once he's we've had enough of him.
What do you guys think about the possible trade rumors involving the Flyers around Anthony Duclair, JVR, and the vintage trade deadline master of the last like 3 or 4 years, Thomas Vanek.
I thought you were going to say like the Flyers are finally trading for Jay Boumeister again.
I haven't
they're
heard
trading for Dustin Byfuglien. Oh my God! Every year, God.
I haven't heard anything substantial on any of those though.
I haven't either, except for you telling me that. But I'm sure where there's smoke, there's like no fire, but someone's just making smoke out their ass.
Yeah,
I mean, Duclair
because
like, sense.
The Coyotes sent him down, right? So he's like languishing in the AHL right now. So they're gonna, but I don't think they like him.
Stop saying languishing.
And he's only 21.
Languishing.
And
he's still cheap for a little bit too. So
yeah, the other two were definitely Eklund.
Probably. I don't see why the
E5.
Yeah.
I don't see why the Flyers would take JVR back.
Well, he's coming up on a contract too. Like, why would you do that to yourself?
Yeah, and then like Thomas Vanek is like, oh my God, I did a back check.
JVR is good, but like, is really what you need?
What's that?
I don't think JVR would be worth the price of what you actually could get out of him.
He's a big body. Well, now he's a big body power winger, isn't he, or something?
Yeah,
finally,
that's what
like,
he was supposed to be.
Size.
Yeah, but he was still growing to his body. He was only like 22.
He was playing soft AF.
But he took over that Boston game that one time. Remember that?
Bitch.
Well, yeah.
He had the spurts.
He had the spurts, but then he like was nowhere to be found the next year. And then vintage Flyers gave up on him and traded him.
For Luke, but we really did need like Luke.
Well,
Shen
they needed
time.
A defenseman.
We needed that, and that was like
That was a real shitty trade.
Because
the
crazy
Pronger,
part was
the whole Pronger thing was still killing them.
That that whole crazy thing was like that was such an internet like rumor trade for months, and then it finally actually happened. Hmm. That was like, one of the few ones that's like, yeah, it's gonna be Shen for JVR straight up, or like maybe like someone adding a pick in the mix, and all of a sudden it happened just straight up. That's very rarely, I think, does the internet like predict it like months in advance. Everyone's like, oh, the Flyers should do this.
So
was that number 2 overall for number 5 overall?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Ugh. Yeah.
But it's the Luke Shen suffered from Toronto syndrome where he's highly overvalued.
Yeah. I think
every Toronto prospect is highly overvalued.
Except for Austin Matthews.
Well, yeah.
He's a kind of, he's pretty good if you ever heard
but,
of him.
But one of the Ottawa newspapers said that the Ottawa GM confirmed that he was talking to the Avalanche for Duchesne. Mm. And the belief was the Avalanche wanted Cody Ceci, a top prospect, and a first-round pick.
Yeah, that's what the asking price they've said has been.
So for most teams, but now you have like an actual like confirmation. So if you look and the Flyers wanted, if the Flyers wanted Duchesne and could make the salary cap work, who is the top player they give? Ghost? Because I think they want a defenseman, but do you think they would settle for Shen?
Braden Shen?
Yeah.
Yes, they would.
Okay, now who is the top prospect you give up?
Because I think we don't value Shen as high. I mean, I think most Flyers fans don't because we've watched him over the past few years.
Yes.
Like, grow.
But
he's getting better every year.
Well, they're saying that Brian Boyle...
He's a great power play player.
...might command a first-round pick at the deadline.
Brian Boyle.
Lumbering oaf Brian Boyle.
What?
A first-round pick?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He wouldn't command more than that.
I don't know. Like,
third-line player.
Well, that's what everyone's saying. Like, I don't know how serious that was, but they were saying that, like, the Lightning are looking at, like, a high pick for him.
Oh, my God. That's another, franchise that seems to be overvaluing all their
players.
Is he
on the other side of 30 at this point?
I don't know. It's still, like, a defensive forward or something.
And if he's not, he's definitely close to it.
You got a slightly more agile, more husky Blair Betts. He's 32 years old.
So you figure, okay, so it's not... they want a defenseman though, so like.
Well, they want a prospect and a defenseman.
Yeah.
Right?
So like, do you want to do like
trade
try
ghost
to do like
Provorov,
ghost
Provorov,
are you saying
and
Shen?
Let's do that.
Are you saying Shen prospect and a pick?
Yeah. Do you think they would swing that, or do you think they would take like a ghost and a Shen and a pick, or like
they would
a ghost
take
and
a Shen
prospect
and like a Hag, Sanheim or Morin?
Yeah, because they Sakic's really focused on defense, but like I think what Hextall would have to give up to get him isn't worth it.
Duchesne? No, I don't. He's a really good player, man. But I don't. Is he ever going to fix this team?
Well, a lot of the arguments I saw was that, well, you know, your number one setter was a healthy scratch. At least Duchesne was a healthy scratch at the World Cup of Hockey.
Wasn't Drew actually
hurt?
That's
a very good point.
Yeah, Drew was hurt for the most part.
Allegedly,
yeah.
There was no injury reports.
I mean, yeah, it would be nice having a second line,
Plus, he's under contract for a while too.
If he's there, it's like, oh, whatever. It's Drew, the second or first line. It doesn't really give a shit. It's all about matchups at that point, really. But
yeah, Duchesne's not even the captain in Colorado, so it's not even like he has to come here and power struggle. So
yeah
I mean, I would
if it
really
was Landeskog, it'd be a little. Yeah, bit
I would like. I would like us to get.
But
Duchesne,
Landeskog's
but,
also only like 22.
I don't know if I'm willing to give up. You know, anything
well,
huge. I would consider trading Ghost and Shen.
Also, if you look at the rumors, Sanheim is the top prospect they want.
I
or
would.
Sakic
I
wants.
Believe it.
I mean, if we trade Sanheim and Shen,
I wouldn't do that.
I don't know.
Sanheim,
I
Ghost.
Think Sanheim is going to be really good.
Right. Well, that's the crapshoot. Like, is he going to be really good or is he going to be Lucas Pisa?
I think he's a little better than Lucas Pisa.
I don't know. I feel like
he's done more. Lucas Pisa was thrown to the fire at 18 and no time to
like. I wonder how willing to gamble Hextall is to be like, well, maybe.
Speaking of
I don't really think he's willing to gamble that much, but I think at this point you can. I mean, what if they try to trade Couturier? And
it's a possibility.
Another like prospect.
Couturier, like everybody keeps saying, like, all right, that offense is going to come, but like, we're waiting.
The beginning of this year, actually,
and he looked pretty good.
We were all into it. Yeah. And he got hurt. So I mean, I was going to say it's end of the year. But it's what I've been thinking. I think
he also gets hurt a lot.
He has one more year, really, with the Flyers to put up or shut up.
Figure it out. His contract's tradable, too. It's only like $4 million, right?
Yeah. And also, he's a great defensive center, and any team would be happy to have him play third line center.
If you'd ask any Flyers fan, they'd say he's overpaid.
Of course.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, though. Conspiracy. When Couturier was out, this team went on a huge win streak and played their best hockey of the year.
Oh, shit.
Came back.
I did see that conspiracy.
Losing.
You should have queued up the Unsolved Mysteries music for that.
Update.
Or Law and Order.
Flyers have lost a bunch of games.
Is it aliens or is it a child molester?
Flyers are missing their mojo like Sean Couturier is missing his teeth.
If you've seen the Flyers offense, give us a call at the 1-800 hotline number at the bottom of the screen.
I'm Robert Stack.
And I'm Dennis Farina.
I'm Robert Stack. I was in Caddyshack as well. Let it play out.
So what was your conspiracy theory? You had to say it over the music.
Yeah.
Sean Couturier, highly talented prospect, or highly talented center of the Philadelphia Flyers, without injury. The team won 10 games in a row. He came back, they started losing. That's it. I just look at the camera, and it cuts to like the dramatization of
If you've
actors.
Seen the Flyers
yeah, you
win
have to
streak.
See the hotline yeah. at the end.
If you've seen the Flyers win streak or have an update,
please call 1-800-PUCK-YEAH. That is 1-800. Are you sure it's what it says? Read it, Robert. 1-800-PUCK-YEAH. Jesus Christ, can't wait to retire from this job.
You guys are idiots.
We're giving you the money. Just read what we wrote.
Which is more impressive because Robert Stack's dead, so we dug him up.
Wait. This, I'm going to cut that off. This YouTube video on the side for the theme, it says, Unsolved Mysteries, Robert Stack. CIA buddy he believed with USO technology and stacks. Oh, I thought it was a UFO. Never mind. I thought I was like, here it goes. Of course it would. Why else would that? Oh my God. I'm going to get stuck in a loop on this. Unsolved Mysteries, actual YouTube people like putting together conspiracies.
We've talked about this before, but like Unsolved Mysteries scared the shit out of me.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Did we talk about this before?
Fucking terrifying. I don't know if it was on.
You know what other show like here? Still kind of creeps me out a little bit, but it's from like that era of TV is Forensic Files.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It was always so dark and moody.
The reenactments were so terrifying on Unsolved Mysteries. It's about a.
Like the clown ghost. I'm like, ah!
Yeah, like, then Frank pulled up to the empty car at night, and it was empty. And I was like, oh, fuck, why was it empty?
Or the aliens one, like, getting abducted, and they have, like, reenactments. Like, oh, hope the aliens aren't listening. We come in peace, Earthling. We do not want to hurt you.
Jesus.
Just put it in my butt, please. Just do your worst.
Whoa, the alien was like, we are not those kind of aliens.
Come on. thought...
My name's Hector. We're here illegally.
Not anymore, you're not.
Ay, Dios mío.
Adios mío. Also, I wanted to mention this, too. We're talking about all these trades the Flyers could possibly make, but here's the biggest problem I have. The Flyers' goal differential, are you guys ready for this? At a minus 21. It's good for the second worst in the East.
Now, I don't understand Corsi, but I think that's bad.
Seventh worst in the league.
Jesus Christ.
Also, to go along with that, which I think this is going to explain this, here's your evidence to explain the other evidence. The Flyers are the fourth worst in the league in even strength scoring ratio with .81. So
it's
even strength goals against and even strength goals for. They're the fourth worst in the league according to sportingcharts.com.
You know you have problems when like your best 5-on-5 defensive player is Matt Reed.
He does pretty all right.
Dad Reed.
It just they give up too many even strength goals, and like I said, even during the win streak, it was a lot of our game-winning goals or big goals come on the power play, which is fine, but you can't live and die by your power play all the time.
No, not at all.
The Flyers, obviously, that's how they've won and scored a lot of goals over the past few years. The power play's been good because you have like guys like Giroux and Simmons, at one point teaming in and Streit, and now Ghost. We've had some good play, and Voracek, of course, but and Hartnell, in the little shot that they're making Shen do now. Giroux's always like directing traffic because Giroux loves feeding that, or across ice to Voracek. But I really don't know how you improve that other than just getting better players, and I don't know if you can just trade and get one good player to fix that. But I don't know. Duchesne is an interesting option. If you put him in the second center position, he has the ability to probably take some of the weight off Giroux for scoring and even up the lines a little bit.
That's
true. Can you
imagine
a Konechny and Duchesne line with another? You can put Raffle on that line.
Right, and
he's
young.
You can put Simmons, Voracek, and Giroux on the top and make it extra big, or you can spread them out with the second line.
It would be a shame if you trade away all that talent and then he's just like... Ooh,
just having
50 points a season.
I don't think you win a cup in the last 10 years in the NHL unless you have two good scoring centers.
You build down the center for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't necessarily need like a scoring third line center. You could have a strictly checking center in your third and fourth lines, or a two way center like a Couturier and like a strictly checking center in the fourth line, and then you have like Crosby or Malkin. Or other things like that. You have obviously we're not going to get Crosby or Malkin, but you know what I'm saying? Like they have.
Well, Malkin's might be gone after this year.
Yeah, true.
You need to have the one, two. The Bruins don't.
The Bruins had like who? Savard and Bergeron, right?
Krejci
was, yeah.
And okay. Bergeron.
Oh, Savard had the concussions, right? He stopped playing. Okay, it's true. I was thinking about 20.
Well, look, you can tell Krejci is important because when the Flyers were down 3-0, but Krejci broke his wrist in that game.
Yeah, and during game three when they won that game.
Yeah, and then they kind of fell apart defensively, and then the Flyers called back into the series.
Mark Savard had concussion symptoms after scoring the overtime goal in the first game.
So David Krejci is pretty important to their lineup.
Remember when the Flyers made history and won the four games in a row and came back from 3-0 in the final game? Remember when most of the guys that scored those goals aren't on the team anymore? Hartnell, Briere, Leno, Gagne. I think those are the four ones. JBR, Briere, Hartnell, and Gagne are the four people that scored.
By the way,
did
you see Monday night's Hartnell down?
No, I did not. Can we please? Let's go to the tape.
He hits the boards pretty hard.
Here it is. Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. Was that by himself, too?
Let me see if I can... Oh, you don't have my... Oh. You don't have me potted up. But, yeah, he's skating in full speed. And then he manages to catch it. I guess he just falls and then just kind of gets like up on his knees in time and then just slams into the boards.
And he's old now, too.
Yeah, and he's rolling around. It looked gross.
He didn't come
it looked
back,
really,
right?
No, I think he left the game. I didn't read anything else about if he's actually hurt or just stung, but it looked gross when it happened.
Yeah.
It looked like it hurt.
Poor Scotty.
Classic Hartnell down.
He'll be all right, though. He'll be all right.
Scotty too high.
Speaking of...
Ow, that fucking hurts.
Other NHL news. So we have some suspensions were handed down.
We do have suspensions handed down.
So Nyquist got 10 games?
Nyquist got 6.
Oh, 6. Vermette got 10, right?
Vermette got
That's
10.
That's why I mixed up.
Nyquist only got 6 for this?
So here...
Well... Yes.
Oh, my God.
Here are a couple of things. So, Jeff, you have the clips here. We'll play them.
Yeah, this won't let me full screen it, so let me see if I can make it bigger.
You must play full screen.
Full screen or get out.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. No, it, like, literally
Control
won't let
minus.
Me do full screen not available, bro.
Okay. Just press play.
All right.
Just press play.
So, you ready?
Yeah.
Here goes.
Yeah, it's not like this TV's not big enough.
You're not playing through the TV.
Fucking no! It says through the board. There it is.
Mantha
trying
right.
to work it free.
Puck so did you catch that?
But
oh my god!
Mantha trying to work it free.
Puck so ref's but hands up immediately. For anybody who hasn't seen it,
I like how he's trying to play that off like he didn't really try to do that.
Spurgeon throws a cross check into Nyquist's back. Nyquist falls. So. As Nyquist gets up, he retaliates by hacking at Spurgeon's face with his stick. Now, the reasoning that he gave to the Department of Player Safety was that he was turning to then cross-check Spurgeon, but his stick just caught him right in the face under the visor. Here's a better...
Nyquist battling with Chris Stewart. Jared Spurgeon comes in and gives him a shot. Nyquist doesn't like it. Watch Nyquist.
Oh, he just spears him.
Play on Jared
so...
Spurgeon.
This play.
You have to be in control of your stick.
That's absolutely. He could have taken his eye out.
Nyquist's excuse was, I was turning to cross check him, and I accidentally hit him right under
yeah,
the eye.
Yeah, see, I didn't try to kill him. What I did was, I was just trying to drive my car next to him to try to scare him.
That's a lie. And what
and
pissed
run
me
over
off,
his shoe to show him I meant business for him owing me money.
What pissed me off the most was everybody was like retweeting the video, and they're like, Nyquist isn't that kind of player. He didn't mean to do it. It's like, it doesn't fucking mean if he meant to do it, he did it.
Yeah.
The thing is, like,
you don't like not get charged with murder if you kill somebody because you didn't mean to do it.
Yeah, it's a great equivalency, you know, NHL and murder. But I know what you're saying.
Come on.
But like, yeah, well, here's what happens.
Most
so, like,
extreme.
When you do those things, like you, when you do those things and the other things, not because they're easy, but because they are hard.
Exactly.
When you do those things, Cold War reference.
You son of a bitch.
Let's go to the fucking moon. Fuck you, Ruskies. fuck up your stupid asses. So over here with that, you have you throw a stick into a player. Obviously, I don't think he meant to do it, but it was just so angry, like the human.
Yeah, like it was a clear retaliation.
You still can't do it. You got to be punished for it. Doesn't mean he's an awful person. But
even if
gonna...
he didn't hit him with a high stick there, he was going to cross-check
him
anyway.
Yeah.
Possibly in the throat or the face, poor Aaron Ashram.
But Spurgeon, he got stitched up. It was a cut, but he didn't. His eye's fine.
Well, it was right on it hit him right in the cheek.
Yeah, it caught him in the cheek and like cut him open. But yeah, even Spurgeon was like, well, I mean, like, I, you know, whatever, but at least I didn't lose my eye.
Yeah, you know, at least I didn't Barry Ashby myself.
Oh.
Too soon?
That's a shame.
Look him up if you don't know that. So, yeah, how about this one? So, Vermette, this one, here we go.
This one is way worse. And by that, I mean he got a mandatory 10-game suspension because it's in the rules.
Oh, thanks for joining us on Valentine's Evening.
So, that was it. Looked pretty...
Wait, that's what gave him a 10-game...
So, it looked pretty inconspicuous, right? But here's a different angle of it.
Yeah, I didn't see that there because I didn't want to watch it yet.
Watch Vermette takes the face off.
The pucks dropped.
He hit the linesman?
Yep.
What did he swing at him for?
Hit the linesman in the leg with his stick.
I'm going to watch it again. Oh, here's a better angle.
Any contact against an official is an automatic 10-game suspension.
Here's the swipe.
Now...
Right there, he
can.
Oh my god! I actually can see it in the top point.
He can appeal it, but I mean, how do you appeal that?
You can't. He can't argue.
That's
that.
Like, I mean, you can't even put the Weidman thing where it's like, I had a concussion, and was it Dennis Weidman?
Yes,
yeah. I had a concussion,
just
which
blew
I think,
up the ref.
I actually think he
lit him up like a Christmas tree.
I think he actually had a point there, though.
No, I think he did
the concussion thing.
I feel like he definitely followed through with his cross check, though.
He was definitely dazed. When that happened.
Like he was like the end of like Mortal Kombat match. It's like, finish him. But
yeah.
Went, like
he could barely get off the ice.
Here we go. It's the Weidman hit again.
And then
Oh, man, hold on. The video started with a...
They'll show a replay, probably.
Dude, the linesman took it good, though. He's like, he was really hurt.
It's such a crazy world we live in.
Here it goes. It's So Weedman's all like, ooh, I'm woozy.
He is banged up. He's going to try and make his way to the bench. And there's the collision with Don Henderson. He doesn't even...
He hits him so hard.
I really think...
He puts his hands up.
I think he was trying to get to the bench. Like, I really do. I know we did this bit before. I really think he was trying to get to the bench. He just saw that in his way, and he had to sit down. Like, it was
probably.
We play it again. I want to watch the whatchamacallit.
Yeah, is this before they had like protocol where they made you leave the?
Yeah. Well, no, I think this was like one of the reasons it got put in. So here he is. Woozy.
Watch the bench, though. Watch the bench. How they react.
His way to the bench, and there's a collision with Don Henderson. He doesn't even see the.
Everyone's like, "Whoa! What the fuck, man?
He's dead."
And the coach of the Predators is like, yo, what are you doing? That's the Predators are playing, right? Yeah, it's Laviolette.
Down goes Frazier.
Assistant coach of the Predators is like, yo, Paisan, you're fucking hitting the kid.
Oh, take it easy.
Down goes Frazier.
Fucking assholes.
Oh, man. So anyway, because Vermette touched a ref, it's an automatic 10 games. And because Gustav Nyquist almost took out Jared Spurgeon's eye, he only gets 6.
Yeah. Just like Jerry Sandusky's son, apparently touched a kid, so he's automatic. You know what?
It keeps it. Looks like he's following up in the family business.
He really is. I'm diddling kids and
being a football coach,
having pet squids. I don't know.
No, I see what you did. That rhymes.
So Flyers injury news. No, wish I never said it.
Can we end the episode now?
Roman Lubimov is coming back versus the Flames.
Lube him up.
Which means tonight, which you've already know this, but if you didn't know this, you didn't watch last night, Dale Weiss is out. They're taking him out of the
lineup.
You know
what blows my mind?
Wait, was Lubimov scratched last game?
You
know what blows
injury.
My mind, though? Like,
who was in his place?
Dale Weiss. You know, minor injury.
So then?
Konechny's been hurt, remember? So
oh,
I was
yeah.
able to, like,
yeah, Konechny is with his walking boot and his knee sprain.
So he
won't be back till the middle of March.
So
right before the playoff run, Hackstall
had to think long and hard about scratching Lubimov, but was like, Chris, get that jersey on, buddy. You're in the lineup tonight. Every night. Did you see the Valentine's Day? Somebody made a Flyers Valentine, and it was like, I love you as much as Dave Hackstall loves Chris Vandeveld.
No, that's awesome. Delzato's also healthy and clear to play, but he will probably not play tonight, I'm imagining. I'll eat my words, obviously, if you guys already know he did play.
I don't know.
Night.
I feel like you wouldn't want to throw him right back into game speed without giving him a couple practices.
I feel like you will see him over the next few days because we do have a couple games coming up.
Who does he come in for? Manning?
Manning, possibly. Maybe he'll pull a oneer and put a straight out. No,
yeah, maybe he'll give Provorov a maintenance day or teach Provorov a lesson or something. I don't really
put him
know.
In timeout with Ghost.
Yeah.
Pull Ghost again. Ghost on a short leash.
That's true.
The Ghost Bear's on a short leash, you know. Got a little bear mace up in there.
Bear mace.
So, also in prospect news, this made the Flyers' main page, but Merrick Madsen, one of our goalie prospects, he plays for Harvard.
Another goalie prospect.
And their team won the Beanpot title against Boston College.
Oh, I saw
College.
That. I didn't realize that.
And they're going to go, and Harvard's had a pretty good team this year, and this is a big win for them. So, they're going to be going through... they usually make the NCAA tournament like every year, so but they haven't won it in a long time. So he's been had a pretty good game for them, apparently.
Speaking of prospects, I was reading Bob McKenzie said that if the Flyers
Bobby McKenzie.
If the Flyers do end up trading a defenseman, that Hag would probably be the first one in line to be called up.
It makes sense.
He's they said as of right now the most NHL ready. And probably should be playing.
He's stronger defensively than the other ones. But I feel like Morin and Sanheim probably
have higher ceilings overall.
But if Hag projects as like even like a bottom pairing defenseman, that's still good.
Yeah, I mean the Flyers need help with their shitty defensive breakdown, so
and
having somebody who's good at defense.
Hag's a pretty decent sized kid, isn't he? I mean he's not as big as Morin, but isn't he like a pretty isn't he a tall drink of water?
Go into that back into that article. It probably has his.
Yeah, hold on.
Pretty sure he's pretty.
Robert Hag, 6'1", 191. So not
he's
too
not
big.
He's small, but
he's an average size guy. He's
I also read this week that German is being tried at right wing.
Oh. Ooh.
But he's basically destroyed the QMJHL at center.
Yeah, he's been lighting it up.
Yeah.
So they're gonna try on right wing to see if like he's a booby Miles. I'll play any position. I'll kick field goals.
I guess we'll see what he can do.
I read the scouting report on him. I was telling you guys, ceiling potential, the magic man himself,
Claude Giroux,
Pavel Datsyuk.
Oh,
yeah, which would be nice.
Yeah. So if he does pan out into that, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice if German was like Pavel Datsyuk?
Just plays here for 10 years and then gives up and goes back to the KHL.
No. Goddamn brewery.
Maybe if he goes back to the KHL in 10 years, he'll actually get some top line minutes.
Suck that one long and hard. So tonight we have the Flames at 9:30. The Flyers start their three-game.
Oh, and Philippe Myers is back and playing. Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Anyway,
now,
back to you.
Thank you, Jeff. The Flyers have a three-game road stand going against the Canadiens' top talent.
All right, stop.
They're playing tonight at the Flames. Thursday, other Oilers. We have the 9 p.m.
All right.
The McDavid Manning Bowl. Doom, doom, boom. 9 p.m.
And watch then, Manning get scratched for that game.
And then that's going to be Sunday at 10 p.m. versus Canucks. But don't worry, it's President's Day. A lot of you guys will probably have off, so you can stay up and watch it on Sunday night.
All right, hold on. So, did you see the Pascal LeBird shootout goal that doesn't technically count but is still awesome?
No.
Ready?
Is it during practice?
No, it's a game.
Yeah, they said that he didn't.
It didn't count
because
it stopped for his his forward momentum. But dude, the move is so good. If you haven't seen it, Google Pascal LeBird shootout goal.
Wasn't he? He was hurt beginning this year, wasn't he?
He's back and playing.
He had a bad concussion.
All right, we're glad to see him playing.
He got laid out.
He's like a little Max Pacioretty kind of guy.
The Flyers.
Is he center too?
He is a winger.
Sorry, no,
right?
Not Max Pacioretty. He's more like a Nathan Gerby.
But like the Flyers have a. Finally, like they're healthy and they're playing. Like the Flyers scouting report, like the on the farm you get from CSN Philly, is wildly impressive.
Yeah, they're going to be good in a couple years.
Yeah,
I mean it's like also the first time that they really can actually talk about prospects.
Not since the early 2000s when we had like Umberger and Richards and Carter and all those young guys, and the Phantoms winning and doing well. You know.
Yeah, well, LeBurge, he can play center and right wing.
No,
so there's your answer.
Oh, God, he's so small.
Pascal.
He's not that small. He's 6'1".
174 pounds, though.
Yeah.
He puts a muscle on that frame.
Well, dude, look at Morin.
Like 5'10", 175 pounds.
Right, but look at Morin. Morin came into camp this year up like 25 pounds.
I know.
He's only 18.
I don't know. I know.
He's only 18.
Don't like the Rolling Stones. He took the shortcut. Playing hockey. Bones. I don't know.
Damn it.
Yeah, he really is. Are you sure you want to quit Skype, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm going to quit Skype. I didn't realize it was open.
Quit space, man.
Get off my back, man.
So three games that we're a three-game road stand. The Flyers to play better on the road, and we'll see what they do this week. And next Wednesday, we'll be back versus the Capitals. It's rivalry night. We'll be back doing a live show. We have a few of these left. Guest to be determined. A couple things
do
in the
you
works.
Think Hakstol purposely sits Manning for the game in Edmonton just so everybody's mind explodes?
To fuck with McDavid?
Because Edmonton, you...
Do you think it would be good or bad?
Well, yeah, actually,
Manning?
The guy.
Well, we talked about it on Scuttlepuck, and I was like, "Listen, if Manning's in the lineup, he'll probably have to fight somebody."
That's true.
But if Manning's not in the lineup, is somebody else going to have to fight
for
what's his face?
Lucic.
Yeah, that's him. So, like, do you think like Brandon Manning's going to be in the press box, and then like Simmons has to go out there and be like, "I'm doing this for you, Brandon"? He's like yelling up, and then he's like, "All right, let's go." And then Lucic is like, "I have to ring my bell."
And McDavid goes, "You can ring my bell, ring my bell."
So yeah, I don't know. If Manning doesn't start, I wonder if like somebody will still fight. You know?
The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah. Starts throwing bows.
The Hunchback of Edmonton.
But it would be awesome if just like the Edmonton fans explode.
The highest paid Hunchback of all time.
Yeah.
Putting freak
pound
show Hunchbacks
pound
back in 1900 out of their out of work with how much money he makes. But yeah, we're back next Wednesday with that. So I guess without further ado, I think it would be time to do, you know, every week on this podcast, we'd like to honor those Flyers or Flyer, mostly a Flyer, who have earned respect from us. So we give our Lauren Hart Waves of the Week. And this week, we're going to go with Jeff first for our Lauren Hart Waves of the Week. Jeff.
Oh, shit.
You have 3 seconds to come up with it. It's only
Well, all right, Wayne Simmons for the Sharks overtime goal.
Wayne Simmons for the Sharks overtime goal.
Wayne Simmons.
We actually didn't watch a clip of that. It was a great goal.
He scored, and then everybody was like, wait a minute, the play's under review. And I was like, oh, if they call this back, I swear God.
It was great, though, because he had a little cookies in the neutral zone and like took the
he
puck.
He did. It makes it better that
he sprinted. You saw him like just put those long Gumby strides into it.
It makes it better that he stepped up on Brent Burns and
he
flustered
him. He made Brent
him.
Burns look like an idiot twice.
He flustered Brent Burns.
Wayne.
Brent Burns.
Yes, Wayne.
Yes.
Can you say Wayne Simmons from now on, like Wayne Simmons?
Wayne Simmons.
Wayne Simmons.
Guys, I'm a big fan of Wayne Simmons.
Wayne Simmons probably the best for us.
If you're looking for a goal, it's Wayne Simmons. Hello, ladies. Are you moist yet?
Not anymore than that.
Great.
Ooh, everything just dried up.
Doyle, you're Lauren Hart Waves of the Week.
Ooh, this is a tough one. Outside of Wayne Simmons, I mean.
It's been a tough two games.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the old...
Oh, yeah?
The old barking... Barking Doge.
The barking Doge.
But seriously, I'm gonna pick Michael Neuwirth.
Michael Neuwirth?
Yeah.
He had a pretty good win on
Solid
Saturday.
Goaltending output.
Yeah, he had a pretty good run of it on Saturday. Yeah. I thought he had a couple pretty good saves the past week, I think, he's gotten. And of course, every time Neuwirth comes up, starts playing well, Mason hears the footsteps behind him and
starts
letting in a
sucking.
Dude, I mean, I would say sucking awfully, but
I'm almost 100% positive Lola farted as she was running down the stairs because it smells like straight ass in that stairwell.
That's actually just me. I put poop on the walls when you guys weren't here. I knew Jeff would lose his shit with that. He's such a 5-year-old.
I tried so hard not to laugh.
Why do you
said,
listen to our podcast?
It smelled like poop in the steps.
Oh man!
God.
I'm gonna go.
Jeff is a child.
My Lauren Hart wave of the week goes to.
It wasn't even that funny, and you're freaking dying over it.
Andrew McDonald for having a great game on Saturday. He had a great offensive zone play, which led to a rebound being picked up by Provorov. Provorov puts it in the back of the net, and he played a pretty good game. And
have to compliment his.
I still hate him.
His psyche for being able to put up with all the crap. Coming at him.
Yeah, really. Little crap. Literally and figuratively.
You know what they say,
if he's coming up your stairwell, literal crap.
You know what they say, though? If you keep on complaining, the levee's going to break.
Is that what they say?
I don't think that's how it goes.
Do you think New Orleans listened to that song prior to 2004? I don't think they did. God damn, dog. Shut up. Call Mike Vick over here.
No. No.
He's a changed man.
Although she might have pooped in the stairwell, so...
I don't think
she did. Speaking of poop in the stairwell, and
Drew does artwork
in poop
stairwell. In the stairwell.
Pooping. What am I, a failed Hitler
finger,
art student?
Finger poop.
What about finger poop?
You guys are so mature.
Drew does finger poop in a stairwell. You're the one that brought it up, so.
That is true. You did say that you rub poop on the
but
stairwell.
But it's called a theater of the mind. I was giving people the visual and idea without even saying it. It's called, doing
something.
Yeah,
we're just taking it and running with it.
Well, I know radio. I know what else I know? I know what time it is. It's time for.
Shibadoo, bop, bop, tweet of the week. Yeah.
It's tweet of the week, everybody. Everyone's favorite part of the show. We break down your tweets or your tweet, or maybe not your tweet because you actually suck at Twitter.
The
and you always want us to retweet you.
Segue.
And we won't because you suck. So this week, not really Flyers related at all. But
you're calling out a lot of tweets, huh? Tweeters that aren't good tweeting. They suck.
You suck. Don't tweet at us. I'm just kidding. Keep tweeting us. We'll just ignore you if you suck. Dan McQuaid, he's a reporter at Philly Mag, had a great one. It was a picture of President Trump with most of the McMahons and Triple H and their kids. And he wrote, Stone Cold Steve Austin has stunned 46% of the people in this photo, including the president. And it was just, it's a timeless caption for a timeless photo of when wrestling superstars and personalities meet with the president in the Oval Office. And you're like, oh my God, that guy was actually on Raw a few times.
The only reason he didn't get to stun the kids in the picture was because they weren't born yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because Stone Cold wasn't only drinking 3 beers a day as opposed to 3 cases of beer a day by the time they were born.
What?
And a margarita.
What?
What?
A shot of whiskey.
What?
I had a jalapeno burger. It's absolutely the best. But yeah, before I get into the end of the show for other things we're going to talk about, we are actually starting to compile now. We said we listened to a couple old episodes earlier because, we don't have producers or money to hire them.
Yeah, exactly.
We need you guys. You guys listen to the show, listen to this beginning especially, but anyone can really join in. Your favorite show moments. If you can remember the episode, that's great. If not, you can tweet at us. whatever your favorite moments from the show, because this summer we'll be hitting episode 100. We're only about, you know, 22 away.
Doing a little prep work.
And we want to try to get started the day now, so it'll take a while to cut all the clips up. So we're going to get a list together of the best clips. We could use your help, and then we're probably going to have a vote on them if we need to cut down some, need some fan interaction. But it'll be kind of cool, like your favorite moments from the show. Does that be Flyers related? It could be just a random
exactly.
night where we talked about dumb things that, you know, did not relate to things.
For example, episode 1, 4 minutes in. First Cold War reference shoehorned in.
It was episode 1?
Episode 1.
Oh, my God.
Episode 2, 14 minutes in. My first voice crack.
See? So,
and
guys,
many more to come.
We're like the Flyers of the 70s. We never change, and you'll love us for it. So we appreciate all the support you guys have given us. And we would like you guys, to, if you have a favorite moment or just a memory, like, oh, I remember you guys talking about this one time. I thought it was pretty funny. If we think it's funny enough, we'll put it on the list. And if we have too many, we'll put it out to vote for people. And also, don't forget, Saturday 25th will be at Westies in North Wildwood discussing the Flyers, Penguins game and doing giveaways and probably just being idiots because we're going to want the crowd to love us. That's what we do. And without further ado, the song of the week this week, I believe Jeff's going to go first. And his song of the week, it's episode 78, if you didn't know that, Jeff. He's going to stare at Doyle.
It's episode 78. I just watched the fear in Jeff's eyes that he was gonna miss the cue.
It's like, you know, getting ready to see national. National anthem. At like you're a high school like musical theater. They start playing the piano. Dun, 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 dun. The kid freezes up. It's like every like TV show or movie where the kid has a big solo.
Plays like Adele during the Grammys. Dun,
dun. I didn't watch the Grammys.
Oh, she was like,
she stopped mid-performance.
Jesus Christ, I say.
She stopped mid-performance.
Play it back,
yelled
you will.
Yelled a profanity and then said, can we start over?
Didn't Metallica have a problem with their performance too?
Yes, James Hetfield's mic was off for half the time.
Yeah. How do you get that wrong?
Because they're zilches. Care about James Hetfield?
You don't really?
No, they don't.
It doesn't matter because they played something after Injustice for All in the last time. That's the last time Metallica was good.
Shut up. However,
some fan you are coming live to the link and you can't go.
You know how upset I am about that.
I know you're going. You have a yoga retreat that weekend.
No, I don't. I have a yoga
CrossFit
retreat.
Bros.
We're getting some Greek yogurt in a retreat.
You're gonna discuss keto diets. Work on planking.
My stomach hurts with how angry I am right now. So without further ado, strap yourselves in, boys. This is my masterpiece. I'm going to never write another one ever again. Or maybe it's not that good. I'm just hyping it up. But however, relevant to what we're talking about, here is your song for episode 78. Here we go. Strap in. Today the Flyers play. It's episode 78. We're the source of Flyers discussion. Playoffs drawing near. We have much to fear. Even strength scoring dysfunction. Fourth line you will see. Shitty Vanderbilt E. Dedicated to making fans yell boo. Wistra, it was faster. Manning is McDavid's master. Jeff's a boy's cracker. Can this team skate any faster? Faster. Fast as Simmons or Konechny. Too many old guys, too many crushed dreams. Blinded by G, you can't see a thing. We should treat his ass, look at his Corsi stats. Cracker, cracker. Jeff's voice cracks like the defense of this team. Cracker, cracker, hell yeah. That's it. You got something? Thank you.
I don't know if you'll ever be able to top that performance.
I saw it in the car. This came on. I was just got done lifting, and we're like, yeah. I'm trying to go home and like eat dinner, do the podcast. Fucking pumped,
guys. We might have to retire the songs now.
Yeah.
It's my wheelhouse.
I don't know if we'll ever top that.
You know how many times I stood in my underwear with a guitar on my back, playing this song, dancing from my mirror, and singing it like I was James Hetfield when I was 14. or 24 or 27. So yeah, that's our song of the week and everything. I want to thank you guys for listening. Don't forget Westies.
I think the only thing that would top this is if you did a live performance of She's Buying Taquitos at 7-Eleven.
Maybe I'll do a live performance of this at karaoke at the show. And no one will get it because there's too many show references in there.
We don't know what a computer is, guy.
We don't. Why is Jeff a cracker? What are you calling him a cracker for? Because he's white? No, because his voice cracks. Come on. It could have worked anyway. Oh, man.
Damn it.
But yeah, guys, thank you guys for listening. You guys have anything? No. I got nothing to plug except for the Westie Show. And send us your ideas about your favorite moments in the Broad Street Bully podcast. We know you guys have many. Or if you're still listening and you don't like us, what are you doing in your life? There's plenty of podcasts out there. Find something else. However, if not, we're closing in on 400 followers on Twitter. So make your mom, who uses Twitter like once or twice, just follow it just so we can whore ourselves out. And we like seeing that number 400. Because 393 and 400, it's a 7-person difference, but it looks a lot better when it's 400.
Right.
And we really appreciate it. So you can follow, all of us on Twitter. You
know, Twitter keeps cracking down on all the spam accounts.
If you find any other...
those spam accounts.
Any other ads that you have? Yeah, the ones you just followed. You had a girl with a nice butt, right?
Yeah.
If you find any other podcasts think that we want to do an ad swap or just want to play our ad or just want to whore ourselves out, or maybe just like what Jeff did, go on another show and talk. We're open to networking. We appreciate Leonard for that. Again, thank you. And also, one quick tidbit. I played NHL Online with one Joey Shimosky. It's not Shimosky. It's Shimosky, by the way. I asked him.
Yeah, nice.
And beat his ass. And I think it was like 3-1. But I played as the Lightning, and we did randoms. And he played as, the Senators. No, I played as the Senators. He was the Lightning. Bobby Ryan, Cherry Hill native, could not buy a goal that game.
But yeah, that sounds about real life right there.
So, that's a good thing we didn't sign him. But that was pretty cool. So thanks, Joe, for playing. That was fun. And that's pretty much it.
All right.
So we'll see you guys next week. We're going to be a live show. Guests will be to be determined. And goodbye.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky and Jeff DeAngelis.
And Doyle.
Available on iTunes, Stitcher, and BroadStreetBully.net. Follow the show on Twitter @ the BSB Podcast.